Cuba. Remember, there will have to be a great deal of interest shown in the news, or we will be forced to have a test even tonight. I have to see interest later. When we get our people here, common knowledge is not so essential. Our workforce will be increased. We won't have to press as hard. The number of things can be reduced. But now we must have a common knowledge. If you don't have an understanding in a family cannot stay together. Knowledge brings sensitivity and loyalty. Be sure you are responsible for all matters of news from Tuesday. You have the capsulization of Tuesday's news in a brief tape. You have a capsulization of Friday's news in a very quick tape in the agricultural meeting. Be sure that you get yesterday's news. I'm asking that every blackboard in both school pavilions be utilized. Teresa does a remarkable job, and also Vernetta has notes so that one can study the news thoroughly. But train yourself to listen. The Prime Minister of Guyana, in accepting a partial International Monetary Fund loan with no strings attached, has assured the Guyanese population on the radio and by press that there will be no devaluation of money. Neither will there be any intrusion into Guyanese affairs by international corporations, which the Guyana paper, New Nation, calls a tool of neo-colonialism. This is strikingly different from the practice in Jamaica, where there are many multinational corporations. In Guyana, there are none, because nearly 90% of all national resources, the means of production and the means of distribution, are in the hands of the government or the people. They have been nationalized. So the conflict between the multinational corporations and the third world will not have to flare up here as it is flaring up in other parts of the world. It, of course, goes back to the colonial past. Was the forefathers of the present-day MNCs, nations that held uncontrolled sway over vast territories of Asia and Africa, said the PNC organ, which resulted in these continents and also Latin America becoming the less developed part of the world. Examples of that are many, of course, with former colonies attaining political independence, the methods of direct and crude exploitation by U.S. multinational corporations have suffered a major setback. The multinational corporations have not only largely remained, but even entrenched themselves further in the economies of the third world countries, becoming in the new conditions vehicles for the more refined colonialist exploitation of the developing countries. The Prime Minister assured Guyana that that will not be allowed. Certainly there is no such biting attack against the multinationals in Jamaica, where they received IMF, or Zambia, or Tanzania. And Zambia has maintained its integrity with Chinese aid, and Tanzania with also Chinese aid, in withstanding efforts of intimidation by U.S. imperialism and its lackeys. One thing that helped Guyana was an OPEC loan of the oil-rich third world nations of some $7 million. It was not a significant loan, only 28 million Guyanese. So it is not as if the Guyanese are going to be dependent upon IMF, International Monetary Fund. The Guyanese have successfully concluded the conditions with the IMF for a one-year standby credit only, an arrangement to help the economic recovery of the country and without any devaluation of money, said Prime Minister Forbes Burnham, alluding to negotiations in January, has given the assurance that there will be no devaluation and that it is understood that Guyana was able, during the lengthy negotiations, to give this assurance to the people that there would be no intrusion into the affairs of Guyana by multinational corporations or U.S. or imperialist banking systems or any effort to devalue Guyanese money. When he spelled out the request and agreement yesterday evening, last night, late in a press conference, the Prime Minister restated that much of the recovery program is dependent on the Guyanese people, all based on proper management of resources and increased effort and productivity on cooperatives such as ours. He said IMF has agreed to make available funds of about 28 million Guyanese dollars for the second and fourth credit transfer that Guyana has in the organization. This has made it possible for Guyana to receive simultaneously a loan of 28 million Guyanese under the compensatory loan. This latter takes into account some of the losses to the economy occasioned unusual weather, which has been blamed on CIA weather modification and the imperialist use of geophysical weapons, which affected the yield in 1977. Also, the plummeting of the world price of sugar due to USA manipulating the sugar market, and it was necessary to receive aid because of the prolonged political strike last year of the PPP, the Opposition Progressive People's Party. Remember, we are the People's National Congress. Dr. Forbes Burnham, the Prime Minister, is head of the People's National Congress. Though the amounts were not large, standby arrangements, generous confidence internationally in the basic standard of the nation's economy, assistance from China has made it possible that IMF will not intimidate Guyana's own economic system. It's made it possible to raise initial funds to finance our development program. He said the investments would cover irrigation, building of medical care facilities, and increased agricultural equipment to develop the nation. We will stop for just a moment while the rain is pretty heavy. Continue with the news. Be sure that we will have a test on an unexpected time, such as Sunday. We'll have to, because people take things for granted. You don't. You will call tests at a most unexpected time if we don't show interest. Take interest, of course, in building. That will be considered. We want inspectors to take special note, households to write up special praises of those who are working productively to plant their yards, the walkways. I want the walkway fences going through the central community to have the same vines that beautiful seniors have placed between the central walkway and the nursery and over the archways, which are so beautiful. I want to see that everywhere. The Prime Minister, Forbes Burnham, yesterday predicted that in the next few years, at best, and perhaps two. Food will be as scarce as oil in the world because of the Arab League pulling away from its support and dependency on U.S. imperialism. And he warned Guyanese in the sugar and rice growing communities, where we have more than abundant food with less population than any area our size in the world, 83,000 square miles and only 700,000 people, that we could easily survive, but people must produce in cooperatives and must produce agriculture or they will perish. The survival of this country and the prosperity of the economy, said the Prime Minister of our beloved Guyana, head of the People's National Congress, which all must know, ask your neighbor over and again, which is the party that is the leadership and the party that is the opposition. The opposition party is the People's Progressive Party, a definitely pro-Moscow party under Dr. Kenny Jagan. However, under its administration, there was not the nationalization of property or the taking over land owned by absentee landlords that there has been under the People's National Congress that is non-aligned, trading both with the Soviet Union, East Germany, Democratic People's Republic of Korea, and China, which has become of immense help to this country. Addressing villagers of the West Demerara at the meeting of the Den Amsel Community Center, Prime Minister Burnham declared, "Let us understand clearly that unless we all are involved in production, every part of our yards and property, the economy would not move forward as rapidly as we would like it, and it can be one of the best economies in the world because of having such a fertile agricultural base and so few Guyanese to feed, thus allowing us the privilege of exporting food to other areas of the world, selling it to other areas of the world." He urged his listeners to stop seeking for office jobs which were not available and get into agricultural production, after recalling that Guy Suko had 3,000 jobs available for workers following the sugar strike last year. He pointed out that the office jobs were dependent upon agricultural food production. The Prime Minister had earlier thanked the villagers for the support they had given to the government in the socialist referendum and to their continued loyalty to the People's National Congress and the government under Dr. Burnham and our good friend Deputy Prime Minister Dr. Reed, who is chairman of the People's National Congress. He also said that a special thank you to all the party activists and supporters who went from house to get out voters. Now people participated in that, especially those like the husband in a skit presented by a drama group at the community center yesterday who wanted to sleep through referendum day. He disclosed that by the end of 15 months, it was expected that there would be a new egalitarian socialist constitution, and it will be totally prepared and adopted by Parliament, he feels. During this period, proposals and memoranda would be taken in various parts of the country by the constituent committee from individuals and organizations to formulate from the people themselves the ideas of what the new constitution should contain. Even those who did not vote, even those who boycotted the referendum, will be given the opportunity to present their views. "We hold no grudges," said Prime Minister Burnham. He said that he had the optimism that the constitution, which would come out eventually, would give a new socio-economic outlook, a socialist outlook, as it embodies a number of new rights and privileges of the citizens. Citizens would have rights such as guaranteed work, leisure, housing, and medicine, and maintenance for the disabled. These rights have never, in the Commonwealth, before, said Comrade Burnham. He said that as he had promised during the referendum campaign, when the Constitution came into being, there would be new elections. He said that this would give the lie to the opposition's charges that the purpose of the referendum was to put an end to elections and keep the People's National Congress in power. But he emphasized that elections were going to be held and done so periodically. If the People's National Congress is returned to office, it will be because it was the choice of the people, he pointed out. He said that he had always counseled against violence, but he wished to know how violence, as the opposition had tried, could force people to vote one way or another. I find this difficult to understand, he stated. He referred to the involvement of the Caribbean Conference of Churches on the opposition side before the referendum and the PPP's opposition seeming dependence on much support for that organization. But the CCC has no vote here and should better carry out its work of preaching about pie in the sky to the people instead of putting its finger in other people's socialist pies here on earth, he declared, drawing a round of applause from his audience. Comrade Burnham said that no matter what the PPP did, the PNC, with the support of the people, would carry through with its revolutionary socialist programs for Guyana. He said that he proposes to call in the leader of the opposition and the conservative small united force that represents less than 2% of Guyana if they would go for discussions on the Constituent Assembly. We're democratic enough to invite them, but not fool enough to be hamstrung by them if they want to stay away, Prime Minister Burnham declared. Well, this is the sum and substance of the new developments in Guyana. It's quite important to note that there has been a strong position taken by Guyana, which I want you to take note of, against the international corporations, as I said earlier. He said there will be no dependence upon them and that there are no strings attached to any loans received, that he will not allow control of this economy. And indeed, referring to the proud heritage of Guyana, Prime Minister Burnham mentioned how the Africans had come from a great advanced state. For instance, when you hear Timbuktu, he said in Africa, in Timbuktu, centuries ago, while all the rest of the world was under the Ice Age, in Timbuktu, great African surgeons were doing cataract surgery and giving vaccinations against smallpox and performing other tremendous feats of surgery. That all Africans on the continent lived a communal life. None would dare think of saying they owned the land. The land was considered the property of all, the living and the dead, and even the animals. It was only the imperial colonial Europeans that moved in the name of Christianity that was able to take advantage of that high development of peace, because also it was a communal society, Africa was, and peaceful society. The ensuing years, 50 million Africans were brought across the seas as slaves, and equally a number died in the passage. He told about how the Africans were brought here, how they were demeaned, how indeed it was the Africans that built the great plantations out of swamps, made the irrigation canals and the seawalls. He spoke of the Amerindian who came down through what was formerly a landline, a chain of islands that was surfaced that connected Alaska with Siberia, a proud and noble people who made their way even through North America, Canada, down in the United States, through Central America, and into Guyana, that they named Land of Many Waters. Most all names of districts and cities come from the great Amerindian. Told how beautiful a culture they have, how peaceful their lives, until the Dutch came in 1665, how they introduced slavery at that time. He also told of the plight of the East Indian, who were promised that they would have the good life by Christians in India under the British government, and how the last bond servants, they called them bound coolies, were not stopped from coming here until 1926. That's how long England carried on its policies of repression against the East Indian. He gave, and the PNC gave, tremendous background on those brave, struggling people, how they were forced to toil the land at 26 cents a day as late as 1920s. And were lucky if they had any time off on Sundays, and could not even eke out a living while the white men lived in great plantations. They were made to live in huts. Told how they died as they crossed the sea, those indentured servants of East India. He said, we have a natural instinct against colonialism because all of us suffered from colonialism. It is not like the United States or Britain, who were the colonialists themselves. We were the people that were oppressed by the colonies. The organ of the People's National Congress, the New Nation, stated in its Sunday edition that the multinational corporations, now that have inherited from indentured servitude and slavery. He said the only reason slavery ceased in 1838, that it was no longer profitable due to slave uprisings. The last slave uprising was 1823, when Kwamina was shot down, but nearly succeeded. Then in the late 1700s, the Cuffy Rebellion almost succeeded, but he, before he would become again a slave, shot himself in a revolutionary act. Great history, a proud history. He told how the Amerindian were forced to hunt slaves by the colonizers, the Dutch, the British, and the USA. Then when they finally ended slavery, how the Amerindian was step by step, ignored and allowed to die from deprivation and oppression. He said, we have a common enemy, the multinational corporations. The multinational corporations have not only largely remained, but even entrenched themselves further in the economies of third world countries, becoming in the new conditions vehicles for the more refined neo-colonialist exploitation of the developing countries. This is important commentary. I would advise you to listen to it. You will be tested. We must know Guyana and its history. For example, in spite of the wind of change, the multinational corporations still control about 20% of industrial production in the developing countries, and 40% of their exports. They also own the transport network, processing, and marketing of third world commodities. Guyana is in a better position than any, owning 90% nearly of its natural resources because of nationalization and socialization of the means of production. And as well, they have the finance, the control of finance and technology badly needed to boost the young economies of the former colonial nations in the third world. That is why the multinational corporations, the monopoly capitalists with their center in USA, controlling the world, still trying to, through the Trilateral Commission, are trying to impose the line of dependent development upon the developing countries and to perpetuate them as objects of exploitation. The streamlined mechanism for keeping them in such dependence is already available. In describing this mechanism, the first thing to mention is that a considerable part of MNC capital investments in the third world, as United Nations experts made a point of stressing, is made within the former colonial capitalist enterprises and socialist enterprises that are increasingly taking over the capitalist ones on the basis of unequal treaties. That is one of the reasons why the developing countries still cannot get rid of the monocrop and lopsided orientation of their economies. That is why they have to export, sell unprocessed raw materials, and as a result obtain only 10 to 15% of the price at which the multinational corporations sell their products, manufactured for what raw material to the, for that raw material to the ultimate customers. It is for that reason that OPEC, the Arab League, is moving away under influence of such nations as Iraq to refine their own oil, develop their own industrial skill of oil refinement, so that they will get more than just 10% of the value of their oil, and to develop their own weapons for their defense, so they will not be under the subjugation of United States and its imperialist lackeys. For example, the U.S. steel monopolies export iron ore rather than pellets or metal from Liberia. Firestone, USA, said Guyana New Nation, PNC organ, exports raw caout. Cook, C-A-O-U-T-C-H-O-U-C, rather than rubber. And De Beers, capital D-E, capital B-E-E-R-S, Great Britain, U.S. conglomerate, cuts and polishes African diamonds only in Europe. It has become a practice for the multinational monopoly capitalist imperialist pursuing their own selfish aims, said the PNC, to refuse to contribute to the fulfillment of economic development plans of the young states, and even not infrequently to sabotage and frustrate their plans. In Indonesia, for example, they said no to any part in developing other islands in the archipelago, the chain, to relieve overpopulated Java, where people are in misery and starvation, since the coup brought about by the CIA that introduced the military dictatorship in Indonesia. That ought to cause guilt, though some of you never feel it, that we earned money there and spent money, thus giving taxes to do the murderous acts of the U.S. government and CIA in Chile, Africa, Indonesia, Southeast Asia. In Indonesia alone, our tax dollars killed 2 million people who resisted the fascist takeover of that nation in the Pacific. In India, they sabotaged the search for oil and gas. It is India where the East Indians came from. The East Indians were so proud that they tried to work their way through jungles. Over a half died in the bush, even willing to try to walk because they did not know anything about geography, trying to walk back to their homeland of India, 10,000 miles away. In India, they sabotaged the search for oil and gas, and for almost 10 years held back the creation of the Indian oil refining industry. The international quinine cartel, controlled by U.S. capitalism, bought up Cinchona, C-I-N-C-H-O-N-A, bark, in Indonesia and the Congo, and tried to close down local factories producing quinine. The most heavily discriminated enterprises are those of the state sector, in which the multinational corporations controlled by U.S. capitalism and our lackeys like Britain and the other seven industrial capitalists in NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, see the main threat to their domination and slave exploitation of the people of the third world.